This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hi, I'm Jalen Rose, and welcome to the Renaissance Man podcast, proudly presented by the New York Post. Next up, we have comedian and actor, HaHa Davis. HaHa went from making popular comedy skits on social media to making movies alongside Cat Williams and Mike Epps. He's currently touring comedy clubs and shooting the upcoming feature film, Stealing Jokes. Coming up, I talked to HaHa about his experience of posting his first video, his path towards fitness, and the one comedian he's dying to work with. Up next, HaHa Davis. Let's go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Jalen Rose, and welcome to the Renaissance Man podcast, proudly presented by the New York Post, a show where we cover trends in fashion, entertainment, current events, and everything in between. Download the podcast, leave a 5-star rating. Who was your favorite guest? What's been your favorite theme? What about Gone in 60 Seconds? Your favorite last call? Introduce a friend, a coworker, a family member to this good old-fashioned soul food. Because this week's theme is self-promotion. There's no shame in helping others see your value. When you hear an opportunity, don't be afraid to nominate yourself. If you made something recently that you're proud of, put it in a group chat. It's not bragging. It's allowing others to see what you're capable of while celebrating yourself, which is something we don't do enough. And there's so many tools that we have to use to our advantage. Put your work on social media. Post your stats on LinkedIn. You never know who's watching. You and your skill set may be exactly what they're looking for. But they'll never know until you put yourself out there. My next guest knows all about that. HaHa started out making funny and relatable videos on IG and Vine. He used self-promotion to gain millions of followers on social media. And now he's gaining traction in a comedy and acting game. My brother from the east side of Detroit is starring in movies alongside Mike Epps and Cat Williams. Coming up, I talked to HaHa about his experience of posting his first video, his path toward fitness, and the one comedian he's dying to work with. Up next, HaHa Davis. Hi, I'm Jalen Rose, and welcome to the Renaissance Man podcast, proudly presented by the New York Post, a show where we cover trends in fashion, entertainment, current events, and everything in between. I do this show each week. I have guests, I have friends, I have artists, I have people I respect. But every now and then, I'm going to have family on the show. And my brother is not only the funniest man on the internet, he done took it to stand-up and to movies. HaHa Davis started out making videos online, now with over 7 million followers and newly announced film, Stealing Jokes. He's everywhere, and I'm proud of my brother. Please, it's an honor to welcome Carlos Ha Ha Davis to the Renaissance Man. Good to see you, family.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that, the way you introduced me. You hyped me up. You took me to another level.
No doubt. That's how we got to do it. And I must say this. I got to ask questions like I don't know the answers because I got to get this audience to get to know you and you killing them. And the New York Post, I'm going to not only do a podcast but write an article about you. I have to ask you, what was it like growing up on the east side of Detroit?
Man, the east side of Detroit really just was, obviously, you know, we come from like poverty and, you know, gang violence and stuff like that, but the east side taught us how to hustle. Like, I don't think I could have been from nowhere else and learned how to hustle the way I learned how to hustle. We out hustle everybody around the world. I don't think nobody in the world can hustle like people from the east side or the west side of Detroit, just Detroit, period.
When did you know not only that you were funny, but being funny could be a lifestyle and you could make a living out of it?
I think when I knew I was funny was like 2015 when I got with Snoop, and Snoop was the first celebrity to follow me. Dope. I was like, okay, maybe I might be funny a little bit. I didn't start making money off of it till like 2017, 2018. I had like 3.5 million followers, but I was living in my mom's basement, not making no money at all. But like 2018 was when I was like, okay, maybe this thing might change my life for real through downloading a free app.
Talk to me about the years where you were pursuing your career, but as you mentioned, still grinding, living in your mother's basement. What was it like? Give encouragement to the young up-and-coming entrepreneurs, entertainers, comedians who are right now hoping to pursue their careers, but they're also living in their mother's basement.
For me, the only thing I would tell them that I stick to all the time is never allow nobody to tell you what you can't do. Because when I was down there grinding for 3.5 years, she was telling me, hey, it's time to go for you to go get a job. It's time to get a job. Like, Mom, it's gonna pop off for me. But even when I thought it was gonna pop off, it still didn't pop off. It popped off maybe 6 months after that. So I say, now don't even let your mom tell you what you can't do. I mean, obviously we gotta listen to our parents, but
no doubt.
We can't allow them to tell us what our dreams are.
So as an entrepreneur, an entertainer, I have to ask, when you're watching television shows growing up, what were some of the things that you enjoyed watching and the ones that inspired you?
Probably like cartoons or just like shows in general?
All of the above. You had the remote control in your hand, and I know you from the east side, and yeah. The TV that worked was sitting on top of the TV that didn't work. What was you watching?
You know what's crazy? Like we taking it back in time. My mom used to watch a lot of Matlock. A lot of people don't remember Matlock. Classic. Matlock was a classic. Like yeah. I used to be watching Matlock all the time. Like it got a point where I wanted to just go out and just start investigating things on my own. Like I was a big Matlock fan. Yeah, I was watching Matlock. Obviously, a lot of cartoons that we grew up on. You know what I mean? But Matlock was like one of the shows that I would tune in, and I was a kid watching it.
What about movies? Some of the favorite movies that inspired you as it related to comedy?
I got to say, like, because Menace to Society was the original movie, but Drinking Juice in the Hood was like one of my classics.
No doubt. That's a classic.
Like, Menace to Society, Drinking Juice in the Hood, that was a classic in my book. Like, it was like one of the original movies I've seen. Like, bro, I really need to be a part of something like that.
That was hilarious. I remember that the Wayans put it down, not only with their family, and I remember Martin being filmed out of Detroit, like so many classic comedy stand-ups. So what are some of your favorite stand-ups of people that you inspire or inspired by growing up?
Definitely, it got to be Martin. Got to be number one on my list because Martin changed the game for us. Like when you're talking about like skits and scripted comedy, he was like one of the originals. I mean, I know you had like In Living Color, but like Martin was like one of the first guys to like do it independently on his own. But my comedy was more like Bernie Mac. I love rest in peace, Bernie Mac. I was a diehard Bernie Mac fan. To this day, like I still quote Bernie Mac, and I think my comedy more like Bernie Mac's.
I ain't scared of you, mother.
I ain't scared of you. You know what's going on. Like that was him letting y'all know, like, I'm here now. I have arrived.
And also, so not only growing up, like, looking up to people like Bernie Mac, but now you starring in films with Mike Epps and Cat Williams. How crazy it'll be on set with them, like setting up your own skits. And what is your best memory as an actor so far?
My best memory would probably be like Cat and Mike, because Mike, he was more one of them guys who he was always funny and he was always, you know what I mean, kicked. But like Cat Williams was more than one of them guys who he went to the car, like he wasn't, you ain't about to get no jokes out of him. Cat was like, he wasn't bullying me on set, but he was pulling my coattail every time I would say something. So any joke that would come out of my mouth, be like, nah, that ain't it. This, that, and third. But I'm thinking that he just didn't like me. But it was more like he was just being like that big brother. You know, when you're a rookie in the NFL.
Yes, yes.
He was treating me like that. But then at the end of the movie, came to my trailer like, bro, I'm a fan. And it was just dope to see that.
So what is it like for you? Because I remember I just recorded, you're going to be proud of your OG. I just recorded an episode of BMF.
Classic. We need that.
In the D at the Fox with Meech. But I can't front. I was looking around. I was the only person taking the paper out of his pocket trying to still remember their lines. See, what is it like for you as an actor?
Yeah. For me, like, the thing I learned is that you got to remember the line before your line. That's how I remember all my lines. Mm. So if I know what line it is before my line, I know where I'm going next. That's how I learned how to remember my lines. But, like, for me, like, now, I mean, it's kind of more – it's easy because a lot of times – when you on set, well, in comedy movies, the director, he gonna rewrite what you already thought you knew. Mm. Like the more action packed, they gonna leave that for what it is. But when you doing a comedy, you as a comedian, as a director, your mind is always racing. Like, how are we gonna scratch that? Wait, I've been learning these lines for 2 days. Hold on, you know what I mean? But I'm always prepared, ready to go with my lines.
One of the things that people that now are fans of yours because you've done a great job of just like extending your brand. And shout to my brother Envy and your team from the east side of Detroit who stand up for you. You know, I got a chance to come on your show, got a chance to break bread, and you know, we family. But absolutely, one of the things about your journey is the one with fitness. And I have to ask you, because I talk about this with athletes all of the time. Like, we were just talking about Zion Williamson. He did a 360 and people was talking about his weight. And so I have to ask you, like, what is the difference in yourself when you look in the mirror now versus how you saw and felt yourself before you started that journey?
The difference now is that I'm confident. The confidence level went to a whole other level because I'm a smaller guy. I'm 5'6", 201 pounds, looking like a ball of meat. This ain't going to work. So now I done lost 50 pounds. Like, when I look in the mirror now, I'm confident. I feel great. Like, one of my goals is I want to be Michael B. Jordan in this game. I want to be considered a sex symbol too. Like, okay, even if y'all don't love me like that, the women going to come watch me because, like, I want to see high because we love him. What I'm saying? I'm trying to really become one of those guys in the industry, like, funny, charming, and he's great at what he do, which is acting.
And also, you got to be the kind of guy to take off his shirt. So I'm on that too. Like, I've been trying to be on my little fashion thing, and I'm like, these shirts too small. They like, no, they swim fit. I'm like, well, damn, I got to stay in shape to wear this. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be looking crazy. So for you, like, say it's a show day, and you got a big set, and what is your routine like that day? And what is your theme song? What are you getting? What are you wearing? Like, what is it like for you on show day?
Show day, like, if it's like when it's a big show, like my last show, you know, I did in Detroit. We did the music hall.
I'm so mad I missed it. I know you saw I had to work that day. I'm going to ask you about that. Man, I'm mad.
We brought the city out, man. It was crazy.
Man.
But the day of the show, like, I'm in my room. I'm not really leaving the room too much. Like, NBA, he'll bring my food up, you know what I mean, something to drink. And then I'm just in the room watching TV a little bit. But every show, I'm going to throw the Jordan 1s on, the Nike socks, you know what I mean, some comfortable jogging pants, and then, like, a nice shirt. But right when it's time to go, what I'm listening to, people don't know, I'm only listening to Chance. And this song came out 6-7 years ago, Summer Friends, Chance the Rapper. Like, that's one of my class. You know, I was on that album, so it's like, I really locked in with that song. Like, when I'm headed to the shows, that's the only song I can hear. I don't hear nothing else. It's like one of my lock-in songs.
That's dope. And I have to ask, and you know, I'm a huge fan of all areas comedy. And yeah. as an entertainer and as a commentator, like, I have to say things about people that they don't like. And sometimes people get mad at me. Players sometimes be mad at me. I have to ask you, like, has there been somebody that you told jokes about that got mad at you?
I think they might not say that they're mad, but I watch a lot of, like, you know, I do a lot of voiceovers on boxing and UFC. I watch a lot of them boys hit the unfollow button. I say, okay, he's hurt. He ain't like that one. Well, they might not tell me personally, but I be knowing, like, okay, he ain't like that one too much.
So, like, some of my favorite artists and albums also had great skits.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about you as a follow, and I learned from you as a follow, I was like, I got to step my game up. Like, you're creative, you're smart, you got your third-party voices and all of that.
Absolutely.
So how did you come up with the third-party voice? In particular, one of my favorite phrases, big fella.
Yeah. See, the thing people don't know, big fella came because we was on the freeway. Me and Barry was on the freeway one time. And then this big Mack truck almost slapped into us. And I was just like, hold on, big fella. And then me and Barry just got to riffing big fella jokes that entire night. The next morning, I woke up and I just used it in the skit. And people just took heed to it. So it ain't like nothing that we just sit and come up with. Like, a lot of this stuff just be stuff that you see in person or you freestyle and you put it out for the people. And if they love it, then you just keep rolling with it.
So for you, as it relates to preparing for a stand-up,
yeah.
And there are a lot of people that, like, say, I want to be in the league playing basketball, or I want to do what you do, but they don't know the time you put in.
Absolutely.
And how you study,
yeah.
And how you prepare. So for you, if you're about to start writing a skit or a stand-up, what goes into that process?
The thing about the skits is, like, naturally, when the camera, like, in my mind, I might come up with an idea the night before. And I'm like, okay, I'm shooting this tomorrow. I just know, I just know the idea I want to shoot. And then whatever comes to my mind, I just keep it. And then I put it out for the people. But stand up, like, a lot of these jokes, people, that's why we don't allow cameras at our shows, because it would take us 2-3 years to write a lot of these jokes.
Mm.
Like stand up comedy ain't no easy job to do. Like, coming up with an hour set, that's 2, 3, 4, 5 years of this hard work. I only been doing stand-up 6-7 years, but, like, the OGs, the Mike Epps, the Chappelle's and all that, like, they've been working on these sets for years, decades. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why we don't allow cameras at our shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if this get out now, I'm out of comedy for 3 years. What I'm finna do?
Yep.
Finna be working at Whole Foods now. Give me 2 years.
Yeah, for real. Because I went to the Chappelle shows when he was in Detroit.
Yeah.
And I saw how much it even changed from the first night to the second night.
Absolutely.
But I also saw how much it changed when it was finally played on Netflix.
Definitely.
So tell me about that creative process.
Yeah. Yeah, like, see, with me, everything I wrote, I think it took me maybe 3 years to get this entire set together. Like, and then when you go on stage, a lot of the jokes might not work. Like, you work a lot of your jokes out in front of, like me, I had to work my jokes out in front of 3-4,000 people because I was already famous. So me going
that's
in front
tough.
Of yeah,
that's
so I'm in front of 3-4,000 people.
You ain't get a chance to practice in the gym without nobody looking.
I just had to go hoop, Jalen. I just had
right.
to go hoop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm throwing you in the start lineup right now tonight.
Right.
I done airballed 3-4 times. My fault. I ain't get to go to practice this week.
No doubt.
So that's what it was to me, like, being thrown in front of 3-4,000 people and having to take my lumps on the chin, like, bombing in front of 4-5,000 people, and then going back to the comedy clubs and getting my set right. It took me 3.5 years to, like, really become a real comedian. See, it's a difference between being funny and being a comedian. I'm a comedian. Mm. Now, at first, I was just funny. Now I'm a comedian that's funny.
Please explain the difference between being funny and a comedian.
See, being funny is just you going up there and you can riff and say anything funny. Like, you right now, Jalen, you can say something funny. But, like, being a complete comedian is going up there and telling a story and allowing people to come into your world and laughing at it and believing that it is true. That's what comedy is. Like, most of this stuff is based off, like, the real life experiences that we went through. I mean, obviously, we might stretch it a little bit and put our little sauce on it, but it'd be like real life situation that we went through that make these things funny to us.
What viral moment did you feel like
I arrived.
I think it was Guard. I think they, because Guard was like the first time when I said Guard, I said, this is crazy. I got Guard, Finna Be a Breeze, and Big Fella in one video. So I really killed the game because I got three.
Killing it.
I got three in one. So it was like I had Guard, Finna Be a Breeze, and Big Fella. And this was like 2016, I believe. It was like my first viral video, 1 million views, 200,000 likes, 20,000 comments. I was like, bro, what's going on? I had never seen them type of numbers like on my page ever. So that was like one of my first, well, my first viral moment. Like, okay, we here now. We got to keep this going.
No doubt. And before I get into my Gone in 60 Seconds rapid fire, yeah, I have to ask you this before I let you get out of here. Where can your fans, my people, our people find you? When your shows, when can we download your podcast? Like, tell us what you got going on.
Right now, what I got going on, I'm shooting Stealing Jokes right now. I'm actually on set right now. I say, but I got to get on with my dog. That's the must do.
Dope. Appreciate that. You know,
that's family right there. So we had to
appreciate
do that.
That.
But this our last week of filming, so we on set right now. So y'all got to give me, I got to get on with my family. Y'all got to give me 10 minutes right quick.
That's love.
We got to do
that's
this.
That's love.
Yeah, so I'm shooting Stealing Jokes right now. I got my podcast. You can find that at High Davis on YouTube. We just did Bobby Smurda. We obviously did you. So we 5 episodes in. I appreciate you being the first one on the ever grace the platform, man. That was dope. Audio is everywhere. You can find audio everywhere. Like anywhere you listen to your podcast, you can find High Davis podcast on there. So please, y'all go listen and tune in because we finna really get to work on the podcast. We not finna play. It's finna go down.
It's finna go down. And before I let you get out of here, as I mentioned, I have a rapid fire segment called Gone in 60 Seconds. You ready to do this, Ha-Ha Davis?
Let's do it. I'm ready.
Okay. So the Double XL always had their freshman of the year. And they're some of the greatest artists to be a part of that. Kendrick Lamar, Big Sean, J. Cole. So I have to ask you, including yourself.
Yeah.
Who are the freshmen of the year in comedy?
This year?
Yes, indeed.
Obviously me, DC Young Fly, Desi Banks, Drewski, and then you got to go with like a Supreme Dream.
I love it.
Yeah.
If you had to delete all of your social media except one platform, which one are you keeping?
Got to be Instagram. Instagram is my baby. That's the one that really put me on. But Twitter and Facebook, everything else can go. Even Snapchat, don't keep all of them.
If you had to pick an iconic Detroit landmark that isn't famous, what would you choose?
It's famous, but I think it would have to just be the Giant Slide.
Ooh!
The Giant Slide, that's the one. You gotta go with the Giant
that's
Slide.
That's the one!
If you ain't never burnt your leg up, you ain't never got burnt going down the Giant Slide.
Wow.
You ain't from Detroit.
Up and down the steps. Flying up and down that. That was so fun.
That walk up the stairs was worth it every time. Just for that half of 30 seconds of going down the slide.
No doubt. No, that is classic Detroit right there.
The Giant
but
slide.
If somebody was coming to Detroit, where would you tell them to go eat?
Oh, you got to go straight to the Coney. You got to get you 2 Coney dogs with everything on it and an 8-piece fried hard with chili and cheese on the fry.
And last but not least, you have a lot of rappers who are fans of yours. If you can do an interlude for an entire album, which hip-hop star would you choose to do skits on their records?
It'd be Snoop, obviously, number one, or it'd be Drake, number two for me. I love to do something crazy with Drake. I know it'd be dope.
Shout out to the OG Snoop. Shout out to you, my brother, Carlos Ha Ha Davis. Shout out to my brother, Envy, the east side of Detroit. We doing this in the New York Post. The Renaissance Man. I appreciate you, family, taking time from set.
I love you, brother. I appreciate you. Anytime. I love you. I appreciate you having me.
That's mutual. Love and appreciate you, too.
Peace.
Last call. I'd like to thank my brother, Ha Ha Davis, for stopping by the podcast. Not only is he humbled and talented, but I'm so very excited to see what he does next. The one thing that stuck out to me, however, in our conversation is the ambition he still has. I know where he's from. east side of Detroit, working the fast food drive-thru. And yet, he's accomplished so much success and so very young in his career, you would think he's still bagging fries. He's still hungry. Even with all of his wins, he is nowhere near where he wants to be. I love that. I hope he's taking some time out to appreciate his position, why he's plotting his promotion, and I admire his work ethic so very much. Let that be a reminder to everyone that's listening. Continue to learn. Continue to grow. Continue to work until your life mirrors the hopes and dreams you actually have for yourself. I'm the Renaissance Man. See you next week.